Greetings, welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now on Masachet Yom Daf Mem Aleph Amud Bet. About to take a look at the second Mishnah in this, the fourth parak, continuing with the description of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol Bevigdei Lavan. Kashar Lashon Shel Zehorit Barosh Sa'ir HaMishtaleach. So after the lottery would happen, he would take a strip of bright scarlet ribbon and put it on the head of the Sari Mishtaleach, and then would face him towards the direction that he's going to be going out. Now, question is, Hemido, is he facing the animal in that direction or putting the strip? Nishchat, meaning the Sa'ir Lashem, would be either tied or placed towards where the Shechita was going to happen. Tied, that would mean it would be near his neck. Balo etzel paroshnia. Then he would go to his par. He'd go back to his par. Remember, his par, he had originally done a viduyan, but never done shchita. So, mechste yadav alav mitva. Then, now the second vidui, chache yomer ana Hashem, and the order that we should have is aviti pashati chatati, because we're following our mayor. Fanecha ani uveiti, uvnearon am kedoshecha. So, that expands it to al kohanim. Ana Hashem kapernal avonot v'lapashayim v'chatayim shaviti v'shapashati v'shchatat v'fanecha ani v'yitiv v'nei aronam k'roshecha k'tub v'tubat Moshe avdechem yom hazeh kaper alechem t'haretchem mikoch hatotechem v'nei adonai titaru v'enonim achor abor Hashem k'on v'chuto l'am v'ed. And this is the second vidui, and of course they would hear Hashem's name three more times here, and now they have heard it seven. Okay, the focus we're going to have in this particular podcast, and the first daf of this, is going to be about the ribbon and things that connect with that. So the question is whether the distinction made between the Sarei Mishtaleach and the Sarei Nishchat, the Sarei Lashem, the dimension of the Sarei Nishchat is referencing where the ribbon is tied on it or where it stood. Toshma, the Tanur of Yosef, Kashar Lashon Shel Zehorit Barosh Sarei Mishtaleach V'Midol Keneg Beit Shiluchu. So he quotes the Mishnah, but he adds an addition. What's the reason that you put the ribbon, and now we see it means it's tied near where it's going to be shechted, near its neck, so the two don't get mixed with each other, because they have ribbons in different places, and also so the nishchat doesn't get mixed up with other animals. And of course, if it's referencing tying so that the ribbon is tied affirmatively on the Sa'ir Lashem and in a different place, Shapir. If it's referencing where you stand the animal, I understand it won't get mixed up with the other Sa'ir because the other Sa'ir has a ribbon and this one doesn't. It's still going to get mixed up with others. It must mean that there is a ribbon and it's tied in a different place. Shmamina. Okay, Amar B'Yitzchak, Shtei L'Sharon Shamati. I heard a tradition about two strips, two ribbons. Achat Shel Parah, Achat Shel Sarei Mishtaleach. One, of course, is the one of the Parah Duma, which is not tied onto it, but is thrown into the fire. And one of them is the Sarei Mishtaleach. Achat Tzricha Shiur, Achat Einat Tzricha Shiur. And I heard that one of them has a minimum size, and one of them has no minimum size. For the Adan HaHeminayim, I don't know which is which. Rav Yosef Nechzei Anan. Rav Yosef heard this report and said, let's see if we can figure it out on our own. Shel Sarei Mishtaleach to buy Chalukah, the one of the Sarei Mishtaleach needs to be divided, because half it goes is going to end up going on the rock on top of the hill, and the other half is going to stay with him by Shiur. Shel Parah to buy Chalukah, but the one of the Parah does not need to be divided up. Lo by Shiur, that must be the one that has no minimum size. It could be as small as you want. Madgram Ramchama asked a question, the Parah Nami by Koved. But the one of the Parah needs to have some weight to it, as we will see later on. So Amar Le Rava, Rava's always on Rambam Chama's heels. Koved Tanoihi, as we'll see a little bit later, Rava will quote the Machloket. It indicates that the need for having some weight to the strip that goes in the Parah's fire is a Machloket. And now, stepping back for a second, Parah lo bai chaluka, doesn't the Parah need also to be divided just like the Shel Sarei Mishtaleach, since Rav Yosef's proof doesn't work? So Abaye said, take a look at this. The Braita says that you take the Eitz Erez, the other things that are thrown into the fire, and tie them with what's left of the strip, which sounds like the strip is torn into two. Part goes into the fire, and part is used to tie it all up. So, Eimab is Zanav Lashon. Don't read that the Shiare Lashon, but rather Zanav Lashon, meaning the end of the strip that's there is used to tie it up, but it's all one, not divided. Chanina Marab, Eitz Erez Shnitolabis Vatan Shal Hevet Kshira, related ruling, that if the fire caught all of those things outside of the burning of the para, meaning they're not being burned with the para, but all three things are being burned separately, together as a unit, but separately from the para, is valid. So, Meitave, the challenge, Taveva Lashon, Mevi Lashon Acher Mekadesh, if the strip got on fire and it's not in with the para, you have to bring another one and throw it in. So, Abaye Lo Kasha, Abaye answers it, Kan Mekolachat Kan Mechpepet, if the fire is shooting high, and the things are being burned significantly away from the para, then you have to bring another one. But if the fire is low, and it's right next to the burning of the para, then it's okay. Alright, that was a side point, but now back to Rav. Amar Kovet Tanoihi, Titania, Lama Korchan, Kadeshu Kulan Baguda Achat, Tiveri Rabbi. Rabbi says, why do you tie them all up so that they're all burned in one aguda, one group? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kadeshaba and Kovet. No, so that there should be some weight to them, Yiplutok Sefarapaz, so they'll fall in. Which means he requires Kovet, but Rabbi doesn't. So there's Nimachloka Tanaim. Kiyatu Rav Dimi Rav Yochanan, Shalosh Toshonot Shamati. Now, Rav Dimi came with a report of Yochanan, which is that he heard that there are three different halachot where there are ribbons, which is true, and Achat Shaparav, Achat Shalosh Mishtalech, and a third one, Shal Mitzorah. Achat Mishkal Asara Zuz, one of them has to be the weight of 10 zuz, Vachat Mishkal Shnei Slaim, one of them 8 zuz, Vachat Mishkal Shekel, which is 2 zuz. Vainly the Faresh, and I can't distinguish and explain, identify which is which. Ki ata Ravin Persha Mishpen Rabbi Yonatan. So Ravin came and he quoted Rabbi Yonatan. Although this is certainly possible that it should be Mishpen Rabbi Yochanan, considering it's Ravin. Shall para mishkal asarazuz. Para has the heaviest one. Rishasa mishtaleach mishkal shnei slayim, the one that's 8 zuz is shnei mishtaleach. Shematsara mishkal shekel, and Sarah has only the small one. Riyochanan pligi rabbi shimon chalafta rabbanan bepara. So there's actually a machloket about the one of the para. Chadama mishkal asara. One says it's 10. Chadama mishkal shekel. The other one says it's 2. Which, by the way, may mean that according to the one that says it's 2, none of them are 10. So the Mishnah at the end of Menachot, in a very different context, which means whether you donate a lot or donate a little, is used here as a mnemonic. One of them is marbe, meaning it has the extreme large shear of 10. The other has the extreme small shear of 2, and nobody has the middle shear. I'm going to be married to the Ravina. Lo b'para pligi, elo b'shemishtaleach pligi. That machloket is not about para, but it's about the sayir. And he said that, and that day, a particular Rav Barkisi passed away. They remember the day he died by saying, Rav Barkisi b'chaper k'ser mishtaleach. He was b'chaper k'ser mishtaleach, because we have this tradition, the mitat tzadikim, b'chaperet, and the idea was that that was the same day that they brought up the Seir Mishtaleach in the Beit Midrash. Rabbi Yitzchak, Shtei L'Shchitot Shamati. So in a parallel vein, Rabbi Yitzchak, who was the author of the first Shmuah, says, I heard the rule about two Shchitot. And the reason they're confusing is Para and Paro. Para being Para Duman, Paro being Paro Shel Aharon on Yom HaKippurim. One of them, if done by a non-Kohen, would be valid, the other would not. And again, Rabbi Yitzchak said, I don't know which is which. So, itmar shchitat para ufaro. So we now, it turns out that in Bavel, that's Rabbi Yitzchak, but in Bavel, there was a switcher machloket about this. Rav Shmuel, chadama para psula paro kshira, chadama paro psula para kshira. So they had opposite positions about which one of them would be kasher if done by a czar. Now, we don't know who said what, but it's time to Rav would amar para psula. We can conclude that it's Rav who would have said the para aduma was pasul bazar and paro shalaron shira bazar. Why? The Amar Rabbi Zera, who's a student of Rav, shchitat para bazar psula. So he's Rav's student, and he said explicitly that if a non-Kohen does Shechitat Parah, it's Pasul. V'yamar Rav Alan, what did Rav say as a comment on that? Elazar v'chukashan inuban. The reason for that is because we have constant mention of Elazar, who operates there as the Skan Kohen Gadol in that parsha, the parsha of Paraduma. Aharon is still alive at the time. And you have the word chukah, of course, zot chukat haTorah, which tells you everything in there is ma'akev, must be done exactly the way it's described, and everything is vital. Alright, so now, that's why it must be a Kohen who does the shechita. For Rav Ma'ishta, Paro dechtiv Elazar v'chukah, so Paro nami, aktiv Aharon v'chukah. The word chukah is written regarding the Avodat Yom HaKippurim as well, and there it says Aharon. So why should it not be the case that Paro shel Aharon must be done with a Kohen? The answer is shechita lav avodahi. Shechita is not an avodah. Shechita is an echshar avodah. The avodah starts with Kabbalat Adam. So yachi para nami. So para, certainly it should not be called an avodah either. Shani para de kochem erakabayiti. Para is different. It's not kochem mizbeach. It's not the normal track of shechita, bizar, kshira, and then everything goes to the mizbeach. It's a special halacha of kochem erakabayit. V'lav kol dechenu, so kavachomer. Kochem erakabayit, which we generally regard as less sanctified because they don't go to the Mizbeach, may not be done by a Zar, then certainly Paro should not. That's not the case. You have halachot that have nothing to do with the Beit HaMikdash. They can still only be done by a Kohen. Only a Kohen can observe and declare the Negayim. Okay, so that explains Rav's position. Let's look at Shmuel. Shmuel said that the par of Aharon must be done by a Kohen, but paraduma may be done by a Zar. So ma'ishta par dechtiv Aharon v'chukah, par nami haktiv al dazar v'chukah. So now we just turn the Rav's proof and switch it backwards, and that should now argue that a para must be done by a Kohen. So shani atan dechtiv v'shachat ota lefanav. In referencing Elazar, he's the one who's standing there when somebody else shechts the para in front of him. Shezar shechet Elazar roet. So what's Rav's answer? How would Rav answer? Shaloi asiach da tomimena. Lefanav means that the Kohen who's doing the shechita has to keep an eye on it, meaning Elazar has to be keeping an eye on it and not have a sechadat. Ushmo shaloi asiach da tomimena leinav kalei mivisarav ta para leinav. You have not v'shechat uta lefanav v'sarav ta para leinav. So leinav, just like lefanav, indicates focus. For Rav, chad b'shechita v'chad b'sefaz. Rav says you need both. Utsricha, meaning a demand for focus during shechita and sreifa. Deikata v'chamana b'shechita, if the Torah only said that you need focus during shechita, mishum l'chidat avodahi, that's the beginning of the actual performance. Aval sreifa imalo, but when you're burning it, you've already started it off on the right track, but you don't need focus. Tzricha, sort of like kol osal dat v'shona osat. If the Torah said you need focus during Sreifa, this is what makes the para usable. When you're burning it, then you got the ashes. Maybe Shechita doesn't require it because it's just a Hechsher. Therefore, the Torah makes that demand twice. So what is the Torah now excluding? What part of the process doesn't need focus? Because clearly we're putting focus at certain points and not saying the entire process needs it. If you think it's collecting the ashes and sanctifying the water to be able to mix them together, that certainly needs focus. It says you have to watch it. You can't have any clearer statement of focus. It's referencing throwing in the other items into the fire because they're not the para. Itmar shchitat para bazar. So now let's go to the question: can a non-Kohen do shchitat para? Which Shmuel said he could. Rabbi Ami Amar ksherav. Rabbi Yitzchak Napach Amar psula. So it's a machloket, a parallel machloket happening in Eretz Yisrael at the same time as Rav and Shmuel. And Ula Amar ksherav Amar mila psula. And there's a divide among Ula's reporters what he said. So now going back to Rav's position, which is that the para aduma must be done by a Kohen, he has support for that. We know that the sprinkling of the waters must be done by a man. Must be done during the day. How do I know that the shechita, kavatama, vazatama, which are all done at the point of shechita, once with the parad, who's sreifata, burning it, and throwing the other items in, How do I know that they must be done during the day and by a man? Talmud Lomar, Torah. So the word Torah there indicates it's all one halacha. Yachol anish shani af sifat efarim l'maim l'kiddush. I might think to even include collecting the ashes and being sanctifying the water. It must be done by a man and during the day. Talmud Lomar, Zot. Zot is an exclusive word. But let's face it, we have Torah, which is expansive, and Zot, which is limiting, and we've saw that just recently in another context. Why are we choosing to expand Torah to include Kabbalat Adam, Azat Adam, etc., and Zot to exclude Asefat Efara Milumayim L'Kiddush? The answer is Achashur Ibam, Hakatub Miyot. Once we have both the Ribuin and Miyot, Amarta, this is how we distinguish. It all starts with sprinkling the water. It must be done by a man. It must be done during the day. All of those things, they must be done by a man. Therefore, they must be also done by during the day. And the other two things that can be done by a woman, therefore they can also be done by at night. But how does that support Rav's contention that the parah must be done by a kohen? All we said is must be done by a man. If you're going to say, since a woman can't do it, a czar can't do it, that's not true. Sprinkling the water must be done by a man, but can be done by a non-coin. Amar Baye, Hainu Tiyufta, the answer is Isha Maitama. Why do we exclude Isha? Because Elazar, Velo Isha, so Zarnami, Elazar, Velo Zar. Kind of a play on words, Elazar and not Azar. So the word Elazar, which tells us it must be a man, also tells us it must be a Kohen, and that's Rav's proof, and that's the support for Rav in this piece. In the next podcast, we're going to take a look, we're going to have a long tangent of a piece of Torah of Ula about the Parah Aduma, and then we're going through significant parts of the Parsha, the Parah Aduma. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.